The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to the Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, April 4th show. I am your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. I am here to help you build a strong financial blueprint one week and one show at a time. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I'm here to answer any questions or connect you with my guests that I have in studio. Please call into the show at 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. Again, 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And my lineup for studio today is one lineup. Normally, I have three guests that I interview, but Andy Lannis is a very, very special guest. He comes in on a regular basis to provide information on Social Security and on Medicare and Medicaid. Nationally known author, speaker, and consultant on Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare and Medicaid. Today, we're going to talk about Social Security highways and byways. So you definitely will want to stay tuned for the entire show where I have a conversation with Andy. But as always, I'm going to start out with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
You all know, as regular listeners to the show, my expertise is mortgage, but the purpose of the Money Hour is to provide information on every area regarding your money. And today I want to bring into Money Chat to talk a little bit about title insurance and common questions that are asked when regarding title insurance. I do need to disclose to you that I'm not a title insurance expert, so you definitely want to talk with an attorney to find out how you want to take title, what title is, and what that means for you. But here's the common questions that are asked about title. What is title insurance? Title insurance is a protection against loss arising from problems connected to the title to your property. Before you purchase your home, it may have gone through several ownerships or changes, and the land on which it stands went through many more as well. There may be a weak link at the point in the chain that could emerge to cause trouble. And for an example, someone along the way may have forged a signature in transferring title, or there may be unpaid real estate taxes or other liens. So title insurance covers the insured parties for any claims and legal fees that arise out of such problems. Another common question is purchasing title insurance required? Well, if you want to get a mortgage, which is my arena, yes, it is required because all mortgage lenders require title protection for the amount equal to the loan. And it's paid by the buyer in a premium, which is paid upfront as part of your closing cost. Now, does title insurance do anything for me is another common question. The required insurance protects the lender on the loan amount of the amount of the mortgage, as I just said, but it doesn't protect the equity in your property. So for that, you need an owner's title policy for the full value of the home. And in many areas, the seller pays for the owner policy as part of their obligation to deliver good title to you, the buyer. In other areas, borrowers must buy it as an add-on to the lender policy. And it's advisable to do this because the additional cost above the cost of the lender policy is relatively small. So why not make sure that you're completely covered when it comes to title insurance? Does the lender policy indirectly protect me? No. They protect against loss, and the lender policy would only cover the lender's loss. Of course, the fact that the insurer issued a policy from the lender indicates that the title has been searched and nothing's came up or been found, but there are no 100% guarantees on that search. So that's why the insurer's policy is, that's why it exists, is because of that reason. So what does title insurance protect? The protection begin and end. With a exception, which I'll get to, title insurance only protects against losses from the claims that arose prior to the date of the policy. It covers through the end of the day the policy is issued and extends backward in time for an indefinite period. Now, for how long is the property owner purchasing title insurance covered indefinitely. The owner's protection lasts as long as the owner or any of its heirs have interest in or any obligation with regard to the property. When they sell, however, the lender will require the purchaser to obtain a new policy that protects the lender against any liens or any other claims against the property that may have been arise since the date that the previous policy was issued. Now, for example, if a contractor you had and was failed to pay for remodeling on the kitchen places a lien on your home, or if you had someone come out and do the roof and for whatever reason that didn't get dealt with, if they're putting a lien against the property, you will probably be required to get that lien moved prior to the property being sold. But in the event that the lien hasn't been removed and a search has failed to uncover it, the new lender will be protected by the new policy. So will title insurance policy protect me against false claims that come up after I purchase the property? The standard policy does not, which is a weakness. So many events beyond your control can reduce the value of your home after you buy it. So if it's a newly constructed house, subcontractors claiming that they have not been paid by the builder may often place a lien on the house. Identity theft can result in a new mortgage that you don't know nothing about. That could be a nightmare. A neighbor could build on your land without your knowledge, thereby adversely processing and possibly eventually taking your land. Or you may suddenly be told that you must correct a zoning violation of the previous owner. So to deal with these issues, a new policy with expanded coverage has been developed and has a small price increase, and it's referred to as ALTA homeowners policy. So you definitely want to look into that. Now, does title insurance cover rise with increases in the value of your property? No, but the coverage under the ALTA policy that we just talked about increases by 10% a year for the first 5 years after insurance to 150% of the initial amount. You can buy an additional coverage as a rider to the policy, which might be a good idea. Why do I need to purchase a new policy when you refinance? So this is a really common question, and you don't need a new owner's policy, but the lender will require to purchase a new lender policy. Even if you refinance with the same lender, the existing lender's policy terminates when you have paid off the mortgage. Furthermore, the lender is concerned about title issues that may arise during the time after you've purchased the home. So you could have liens that were attached to that property. So a new title search will uncover any of those liens, and you'd have to pay those off as a condition before the refinance would actually close. Now, does title insurance guarantee me that I will be able to sell my property if an unforeseen claim arises? No. Title insurance does not prevent loss on marketability due to the title claim any more than if fire insurance prevents fire. So if a claim does come up, you probably won't be able to sell your house. Well, you won't be able to sell your house until the claim is settled by the title insurer. Now, the interest in the owner and the insurer may clash in this such case because the owner usually wants a settlement immediately, whereas the insurer wants to minimize the cost of the settlement, which may require time, negotiation, and a lot of different factors there. So it can be an issue timing-wise, having something coming up on title in the middle of purchase. Now, I also want to talk about how to choose title, because there's a lot of different ways to take title out on your home. And so it's important to understand this. Again, you really need to talk to an attorney to make sure you're taking out title in the best, holding title the best way that you can to protect yourself and whoever is a part of that loan. So sole ownership. The simplest way to hold title is by holding sole ownership of the house. As the name implies, you alone hold all the rights to the house. While this manner of ownership is often utilized by singles, a married person can claim sole ownership of the property if his or her spouse is willing to sign the document called a quick claim deed, which effectively denies the spouse any right to the property. So why would you do that? Maybe you're going through a divorce or something, and you know, so you want to make sure that you're going through a refund. Finances is a good example, and that the divorce hasn't actually been finalized yet, so you'd be taking sole ownership. Joint tenancy with right of survivorship. Two or more people may hold title together in a form of ownership called joint tenancy. Now, in this form of ownership, each owner has equal rights to the property as whole. Should one of the owners die under the right of survivorship, the deceased share will be automatically transferred to the co-owner of the property, not to the heirs of the deceased. So if you don't take title correctly, this could be devastating in a death situation because you could lose your property. Now, tenancy in common. A broader way for a few people to hold title together is called tenancy in common. In this way, multiple people can hold either equal or unequal portions of the property. Two people can have 50% of the property, or one can have 70%, with the remaining 30% being split by other individuals. Any combination that you want to do, and any ownership can sell, give, or will his or her share of the property at the time. So where I've seen this is maybe in a co-signer situation, where parents are coming on and they're co-signing, but they're providing some down payment, and so there might be tenancy in common. Tenancy by the entirety. A few states in the United States, Washington State not being one of them, offer specific form of joint tenancy called tenancy by its entirety, exclusively to married couples. So a husband and wife hold title together and must make all the decisions on the property jointly. This is beneficial if one spouse has a large debt, as a creditor cannot go after this type of jointly owned property when one spouse dies if the other gets full title of the property. So again, it's offered in a lot of states, Washington State not being one of them. Community property. Property acquired during the marriage is recognized in the United States in 9 U.S. states as community property, Washington being one of those. Husband and wife each own half of the property and each can will their half to someone else. If the community property is owned with right of survivorship, the surviving spouse will own the entire property. The states that recognize this form of ownership, again, I said Washington, also Arizona, California, Idaho, Louisiana, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, and Wisconsin. And then, again, just a disclosure, you want to talk with an attorney to find out what is the best option for you to make sure that you're protected. I think it's always a good idea to hire an attorney going through any legal contract and buying a house. It's a lot of money. So paying that, you know, $400, $500, $600, whatever it would cost to get expert opinion is not a bad idea. And of course, if you need a resource in that arena, call into the show 1-855-411-1150, or you can reach me online at themoneyhour.com. Coming up next in the Money Hour, you can order his books on Amazon. When I retire, the fastest, easiest way to make your retirement fun, fulfilling, and significant. Also, his book, Social Security, The Inside Story, hailed as the best book on the topic. Who is it? Andy Landis, nationally known author, speaker, and consultant, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. He weighed 1 pound, 7 ounces. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His brain wasn't ready. At the hospital, the nurses said Daniel was a fighter, and they would do all they could to help him. The doctor said even with the best care, Daniel may never walk. He may never see. He may never learn. Daniel's parents spent night after night at the hospital, watching his every breath, holding his tiny hands, and looking for signs that he was growing stronger. At home, his parents looked around Daniel's empty nursery, at the quiet toys and the still rocker, and they hoped that one day they could sit in that rocking chair and tell this story to their very healthy son. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year, but there's hope for a happy ending. The March of Dimes is funding the research and programs to stop premature birth. You can help bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
You bought it, but do you know how it works? We're talking Social Security, the biggest mystery in your financial blueprint. Now, move from mystery to mastery with the new book, Social Security, The Inside Story. Author Andy Landis has helped thousands of people just like you master Social Security.
Hi, this is Andy Landis. You can learn more at my website. Go to www.andylandis.biz. That's andylandis.biz.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Well, welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM at KKNW, the Saturday, April 4th show. I bring into studio each week the best of the best experts in our local market on everything regarding money, and I'm here to help you in today's economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call the show at 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And the rest of the show is for one guest. Unlike usually, I'm interviewing and talking with three guests, but Andy is special. He spends a lot of time visiting me here in the studio to help my listeners, all of you, when it comes to Social Security, Medicare, Medicare and Medicaid. And whether you're reaching that retirement age or the age that you're starting to think about this, it doesn't matter because we all have parents, we have grandparents, and we have loved ones that are getting to this next stage in life. And it's really important, just like everything else regarding your money, it's all about preparation, planning, and education. And really having the experts that can help you through that process. So I'm just so excited. Andy, thank you for coming back in studio.
Thank you, Tina. It's great to be here.
And if I had us live on video, you could actually see birthday cakes, balloons.
Happy birthday.
Andy,
to
birthday.
Me.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Andy.
Happy birthday to me. Thank you. Yeah.
So, Andy, celebrating your birthday, that is awesome. And spending time in studio is awesome. So I want to give my listeners a little background of who you are. Andy Landis is our Social Security guru. He is an author of Social Security, The Inside Story, called the Social Security Bible, available on Amazon.com. So I encourage all of you to go on to Amazon.com. And again, you know somebody that can benefit from reading Andy's book and getting that inside story. Andy travels the United States making sense of Social Security. Sometimes it's a little hard to do that. He has worked with pre-retirees and retirees for over 35 years.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting old.
I didn't tell him how old you were. A little bit older than I am,
that.
Andy.
Yeah. No, I've been at this for 38 years. It's crazy.
38 years? I need to update the bio I've got. Oh, have I known you for that long?
Notice it says over 35.
Oh, okay.
It'll be good for a long time.
All righty. So first at Social Security, then at Boeing, AARP, Weyerhaeuser, and now as a speaker, author, and consultant. He is a regular blogger for the Wall Street Journal, Market Watch website. And he gets rave reviews from the public and financial professionals because he makes Social Security clear and fun. And we're going to talk about that. I don't want to get off the bio here, but boy, that's really hard to make Social Security clear and fun. Those are two difficult things. He lives in Seattle with keyboards, camper, computers, cars, and sometimes kids. We're happy to have you, Andy, again here as an expert on Social Security and with a little twist with highways and byways. So let's go ahead and get right into it. And what do you mean by Social Security highways?
Well, as a car guy, this makes sense to me that Social Security's main highway would be the basic benefits for a worker and their spouse. Okay. Although sometimes I run into people that go, what, my spouse can get Social Security too? So those are the basic highways, the main roads. They're on most people's maps, and people expect those payments. Uh-huh. So that's kind of like, okay, everybody rides this freeway, right?
Exactly.
Worker and spouse benefits.
So talking about the highways, what about the byways?
Well, there's a whole bunch of side roads to Social Security that are less well known. And one that's really important is divorced spouse benefits. So if you have an ex and you are married at least 10 years, you can file for Social Security on their work record, and that can be a profit for you. There's benefits for children. So when you get on Social Security, mm-hmm. they'll ask, do you have any children in high school age or younger? Or if they're older than that, are they totally disabled? And those kids can get Social Security on your work record. Disability benefits, there's two kinds of benefits for people mid-career. Heaven forbid this should happen, but if you become disabled while you're a worker, you get Social Security. Or mm-hmm. worst of all, if you pass away while you're a worker and leave dependents, Social Security will pay them.
Okay.
So it's kind of like life insurance, disability insurance, and retirement benefits all rolled into one. It's pretty awesome.
Got it. So how important is it, Andy, to know the side roads?
It's really important because mm-hmm. all the time when I'm out doing seminars, I run into people that had no clue that they could go on one of these side roads and maybe get more money. Maybe
yes.
it's a maybe it's a useful detour to go on one of these side roads instead of your own. So you're
give
looking
me an example.
For, okay. For example, I ran into somebody that didn't know their own spouse could get Social Security payments. They were counting on Social Security for the worker. I guess it was a he who had most of the income in the family and was clueless that there's additional money. It changed his retirement plan. And now I'm running into more and more boomers who are reaching retirement age, but they still have kids, maybe because they had them late in life. Maybe they're adopted. Maybe they married into the family, their stepkids, whatever. If you have kids that are high school age or younger, they're going to get Social Security when you sign up.
Okay.
And that completely changes their retirement picture.
Yep.
If you can bring an extra $1,000 or $1,500 a month in while the
huge.
Kids are still underage. So there's different roads to explore. And a new word that I've recently made up is dually. When I worked at Social Security, we talked about people who were dually eligible, like I'm eligible as a worker and a spouse, or a worker and an ex-spouse, or a worker and a widower, for example. Well, that makes you a dually, which means you have at least two different pathways to take on your Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on which one you take first and which one you take second, you can get a lot more money out of the system.
Yeah.
So it's really important to know and to explore these side roads.
Because the system's not going to come back and tell you that you've taken the wrong road.
They can't always do that.
Yeah.
They can tell you, hey, you could do this or you could do that, but they can't tell you which one is best.
Got it. So are there other byways that people should, that my listeners should know about, Andy?
Yeah, then there's the real side roads. I call them off-road excursions.
Okay. I like this road trip that we're going on.
It works
on.
For me.
It
well,
does.
You drive
you
an interesting
Social
car.
Security.
You're into it, too.
Yeah, you make Social Security fun.
Well, I've got the most boring topic in the world, let's face it. So you got to have a little fun with it. So the first one I call the U-turn. Here we go with an extended metaphor.
Okay.
Right? So the U-turn, what's a U-turn do? It takes you back to your starting point. It goes back where you were. Well, you can do that with your Social Security. You can sign up for Social Security and then later decide, that wasn't the best pathway for me. And what you do then is you do a U-turn, or like an undo button on your computer. You withdraw the claim. You got to repay the money you got. And then it's just like you never filed.
Oh, wow.
Which is awesome. For example, I had a gentleman in Los Angeles that contacted me. And he reached 66, and he signed up for his Social Security. And 2 months later, he finds out, oh, I could have gotten ex-spouse benefits. And that would have been a better byway for me to be on, get ex-spouse benefits for a few years, and then steer back onto the main highway of my own benefits for more money.
Okay,
so what he had to do was withdraw his own claim, because that was in the way.
Okay.
Withdraw that, pay back the money, make a U-turn back to the beginning, sign up as an ex-spouse. 4 years later, he'll sign up on his own. He'll get 32% more money.
So is there any time limit to how far back that you can go backwards and pay back and start getting back on the right road?
That's a little complicated. The rule for the last 4 years has been you can only do it in the first 12 months.
Okay.
So let's go with that.
All right.
Rules are in flux right now.
But you said 4 years.
For the last 4 years, you've been allowed to do it only in the first 12 months.
Oh, okay.
And then there was some publication that said that 12-month rule is going away, so you could do it years later.
Okay.
However, that's not in effect yet. So make sure if you're outside the first 12 months of Social Security, check with Social Security because the rules are changing right now.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Andy, what about any other byways?
Well, there's a second one that's probably the most powerful tool in the Social Security toolbox.
Okay.
That's the ability to suspend your payments from full retirement age, which right now is 66, to 70. Now, I call it red light, green light. Do you remember playing this when you were a kid?
Somebody I do, says, but I remember red light, green light, but I'm trying to remember. It's why I guess red light means that you have to stop and green light, you can go.
Yeah, I think you had to freeze or something, or you're out. Yeah,
It's coming back.
Well, you can do that with your Social Security. You can do a red light for a while and then give it a green light and make it start again.
Okay.
So you can suspend any or all payments from your full retirement age up to age 70. And any payment that you suspend means that when you start them again, you're going to get more money per month.
So explain that, Dandy.
So if I, let's say I stop my payments for a year from 66 to 70.
Okay.
Or excuse me, from 66 to 67.
Okay.
And at 67, I start them up again. They start up at 8% more money per month.
Really?
So if I have some way, let's say I get a job.
Yes.
Don't need the Social Security right now.
Yep.
And then a year later, I move on.
Okay.
Don't have the job anymore. Start them up at a higher rate.
Yeah. Wow.
And you could do that. The extreme case would be putting the red light on your Social Security all 4 years from 66 to 70.
Okay.
And when you start them up, it's 8% a year times 4 years. That's 32% increase.
Wow. Wow.
So it's huge. And while they're stopped, your spouse can still get a payment on your record.
Okay.
So I could be, say, working full time. I could suspend my payments on Social Security. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, my spouse can get up to a 50% payment, even though I'm working and even though my payments are stopped, spousal payments are coming in. It's just like free money. It's unbelievable. So definitely explore that if you're anywhere from 66 to 70.
Not that we need to talk with you, Andy, about Social Security yet, because Dave is only 56, but I forgot to tell you, he just retired on the 31st, so he's done.
No way, really?
Nope, he's done.
Oh, congratulations to him.
Cool. Who gets to retire at 56, Dave?
he put in his time. He did.
He worked very hard. Yes, yep. I should say that because I know his mom listens to the show all the time. Hi, Mom. So what about Dave really has a lot of time for things that are important and taking care of our parents and all these things that we want to be able to do. So what's the third off road?
I call it the dually detour. If you are a dually, you're eligible two different ways. Like spouse, or you could take the detour route first and then come back to the main road later.
Okay.
And what you're doing is getting some money coming in now, but later when you get back on the main track of your own Social Security, like I was saying, it's at a higher level. So you get a little bit of money coming in now, and you wouldn't believe the abilities that you have. We'll talk about that after the break.
Okay,
the
perfect.
Things you can do with
so
that.
So before we do take it to break, Andy, I want you to, how can my listeners learn more about the byways and see if they can profit from them?
You know, the first stop for any kind of Social Security planning is go on the Social Security website at ssa.gov and get a My Social Security account started. Yeah, you got to make a username and a password and all that. Well, okay, we do that for our banks and everybody else. You input your data that you get from that into one or more online calculators you can get for free. And the ones I really like, just do a computer search for Social Security calculators by AARP, Financial Engines, or T. Rowe Price also has a good one.
Perfect.
So those are three great tools.
Wonderful. Andy, thank you so much. And coming up next in the Money Hour, Andy's not going anywhere. Social Security and costly mistakes that you don't want to make. The best tools for planning. Is it going away? Everything about Social Security that you need to know. Andy Landis, nationally known author, speaker, and consultant, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
You bought it, but do you know how it works? We're talking Social Security, the biggest mystery in your financial blueprint. Now, move from mystery to mastery with the new book, Social Security, The Inside Story. Author Andy Landis has helped thousands of people just like you master Social Security.
Hi, this is Andy Landis. You can learn more at my website. Go to www.andylandis.biz. That's andylandis.biz.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi. I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
Well, before I left my campsite, I was putting out my fire, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me?
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when people correctly put out their campfires. He's pretty big on wildfire prevention. He's just letting you know you did good. With a hug. He's a hugger.
I just got a bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update!
All right, I'm gonna let you go now. I've got a lot of ranger stuff to do. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires. Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday 4th, April 4th show. Each week, I share expert advice and inside knowledge on how today's events in our local economy can affect your money. If you're listening to my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast to talk to myself or the amazing guest I have in studio today, you can call 1-855-400-1150. Again, 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio, continued conversation with Andy Landis, a nationally known author, speaker, and consultant. So, Andy, we were talking about Social Security and we were talking about the byways and the highways and all the different roads that you can take and just a really fun spin to put on Social Security. So if you actually did not hear the last conversation I had with Andy, you definitely will want to go to themoneyhour.com and put in Andy's name and you can pull up all of the conversations that I've had with him way back to the beginning of the show. But let's go ahead and move over to Medicare, Andy. And when should someone apply for Medicare? Are there any exceptions to that? How do they do it? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Two key dates. One is when you turn 65. That's okay. When Medicare age kicks in. So most people should at least, everyone should at least contact Social Security and say, what do I do with my Medicare just before you turn 65, like a month or two before.
Okay.
Many people should apply at 65. There's a big exception. And the big exception is if you have health insurance from an employer,
okay,
either your work or your spouse's, you can postpone the Medicare until that insurance ends.
So that's the only exception.
Yeah, like let's say you're going to retire or your spouse is going to retire when you're 68.
Uh-huh.
You postpone the Medicare. You apply for it at 68.
Okay.
And at that point, Social Security says, dude, you were supposed to apply at 65.
Uh-huh.
And you say, it's not a problem because I have insurance from work. And they waive all the late fees for coming in late.
Okay.
So 65, it's key to contact Social Security then to make sure that your work fits their definition.
Got it. And then how do they do it? How do my listeners apply for Medicare?
Two ways. One would be to contact Social Security by phone. Would be easier than going into an office. So you can call them at 800-SSA-1213.
Okay.
And they're open from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. And you can be on hold for quite a while if you do that.
Okay.
Or it just takes a minute to apply for Medicare online. So you could go to ssa.gov and apply for Medicare right there on their website.
Perfect.
Just takes a few minutes.
And Andy, if a listener has Medicare, is it what type of additional insurance should they be getting, if any?
Everyone should look at getting additional insurance on top of their Medicare.
And why? And I know that's very important. But why do you give that advice?
The reason it's important is Medicare will cover, oh, I think it's something like 70% of your bills.
Okay.
They pay 80% of their allowed bills.
Okay.
And that's some percentage of the total bill. Here's the kicker. You know, if I go to the doctor and I got to pay $20 because Medicare didn't cover it all,
uh-huh,
who cares? It's not a big deal. But if I go to the doctor and I need open heart surgery and it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars,
uh-huh,
and I got to pay 20 to 35% of that out of pocket.
Wow.
And that could happen over and over. There's no Medicare out of pocket limits, either lifetime limits or annual limits. So it's really important that you have some insurance to pick up the stuff Medicare doesn't cover.
Yeah, because you could be in big trouble in the retirement years with your finances without.
For sure.
Yep.
So we were doing the pathways thing before. There's
uh-huh,
three pathways to get Medicare supplement insurance.
Okay.
One is maybe your company or union offers something.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in the military, you might have TRICARE for life. Or if you worked for Boeing, there might be health insurance going on into, you know, post 65.
Okay.
So first, check with your employer or union.
Okay.
Second, and the most popular way, is to get a Medigap policy. And if you get a Medigap, it's designed just to fill gaps in Medicare. Very
just
cool.
Just like the name.
Just like the name.
Yep.
And you probably want to look at a Part D prescription drug coverage plan,
okay,
also. So now you got three different insurance companies.
Wow.
The third pathway, it's kind of new and evolving. It's called Medicare Advantage.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around for a long time, but they've changed in the last 5 years or so. So what you're doing is buying an insurance plan that replaces all your Medicare coverage, and all your claims go to this private insurance plan.
Okay.
For example, Group Health, Premera, Regents, all these companies offer Advantage plans, and then all your dealings are with that one company. All your claims go there, any kind of appeals you have go there, and some of them are free. So you pay for your Medicare, which is only like $104.90 per month per person for most people. So I'm paying about $100 a month for my Medicare, and I can get free additional insurance to fill the gaps in Medicare by going to an Advantage plan. So I'll tell you what, right now I'm paying $551 a month for my health insurance because I'm self-employed.
Yes.
So I'm on an individual plan. And when I go on Medicare in exactly 1 year from today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My total insurance bill might be anywhere from $100 to $300. I'll be saving hundreds of dollars a month when I go on Medicare. It's awesome.
Okay, that's great. And what about the stability of Medicare?
It's much better than people think.
Okay.
There's always a drop-dead date on Medicare where Medicare Part A, which covers hospital bills, will run out of money. Part B will not run out of money because by law, the government has to pay three-quarters of the cost of that, and the retirees pay the other quarter. So that's there forever. But Part A has a trust fund that slowly gets drained. Right now, I believe the drop-dead date for Medicare is 2024.
Wow.
And I don't want people to worry about that because I've been in this business for 38 years.
And there's always been that.
That's probably the longest period of solvency I've ever seen.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah, it's in pretty good shape.
Good. So what about getting more information on Medicare or supplemental insurance?
Two resources. One, go to Medicare.gov. They have an awesome website. It has a problem that's similar to what the problem is on the Social Security website. Too much information!
Exactly.
So a great place to go, if you're in Washington State, is go to look up Washington State SHIBA. Just do a computer search. S-H-I-B-A, SHIBA. Statewide Health Insurance Benefits Advisors. They have an 800 number. They have an awesome website that has all kinds of state-specific information, including every kind of Medicare additional insurance you can buy with the price tag attached.
Nice.
All your shopping is in one place.
Wow, that's awesome.
You can call them up and they'll help you through the decisions on in person. They have trained volunteers that'll even meet with you to help you make the decisions. So there's a lot of help available.
A lot of resource.
Yeah, don't be alone.
Okay.
And there's also private brokers. You can go and talk to a Medicare insurance broker and they can guide you too.
Perfect. So what about weakness with Medicare? What are their weakness?
As a 64-year-old, one weakness is they don't kick in until 65. So there's one. I wish everybody could get it, but it's not the way it works. It can be kind of expensive for some people. If you're high income, really high income, like $300,000 a year, then you're going to pay a whopping $300 for your Medicare instead of $100. So is that a weakness?
Yeah,
still
no.
A good deal. You
exactly.
Know? Probably the biggest weakness is it doesn't cover everything. And that means some of the responsibility comes to you to fill those gaps in Medicare. And you don't want to make a mistake on that.
So what are some of those things that it does not cover?
Well, for example, let's say I've got a $100,000 medical bill, which these days would be small potatoes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not much of anything.
The Medicare allowable on that might be less than $100,000, and they only pay 80% of the allowable. So I could be out $30,000 on this one bill. And then what if it's a bill that happens all the time, like a year of chemo or a series of surgeries or something like that? That's probably the biggest weakness. All of these gaps that I talk about would be filled if you got a Medigap policy or a Medicare Advantage plan. So I don't want you to panic on that. Everybody just fills those gaps by getting additional insurance, and it's not too expensive to do that.
Okay. So any other advice when it comes to Medicare before I take us to a commercial, Andy?
Don't forget to contact Social Security just before you turn 65, 2 to 3 months early. Call Social Security, visit them, and find out if you should take Medicare now at 65, or if you can safely postpone it without late fees. You do not want to get those late fees.
Okay.
And also make sure you learn about the supplements And a great way to do that is right on the Insurance Commissioner of the State of Washington's website, SHIBA, S-H-I-B-A, Washington State.
Perfect. So coming up next in the Money Hour, we're going to stick here with Andy for the entire show. What steps do you need to take and plan for Social Security? Andy Landis, nationally known author, speaker, and consultant, right here with me on 1150 AM at KKNW after the short break.
Every day, more than 1.4 million American lives are disrupted by Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. This year alone, 70,000 new cases will be diagnosed, and more of those are children. Nearly 75% of patients with Crohn's disease will require one or more surgeries at some point in their lives. Those are the facts, but they don't speak to the daily realities of living with Crohn's or colitis. Excruciating pain, a lifetime of medication, and days when they can't even get out of bed. There's a good chance you know someone suffering with Crohn's or colitis. Someone like me. I'm Amy Brenneman, and I'm asking you to support the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. CCFA was created to help millions of us cope and to find cures. Visit ccfa.org today to learn more, donate, or join an event. It's time to face the facts and reach out to help someone you know at ccfa.org.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
You bought it, but do you know how it works? We're talking Social Security, the biggest mystery in your financial blueprint. Now, move from mystery to mastery with the new book, Social Security, The Inside Story. Author Andy Landis has helped thousands of people just like you master Social Security.
Hi, this is Andy Landis. You can learn more at my website. Go to www.andylandis.biz. That's andylandis.biz.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, April 4th show. I'm dedicated to all of my listeners, providing you with the tools needed to make informed decisions on matters when it affects your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can call the show at 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio for the entire show today, I've had Andy Landis, nationally known author, speaker, and consultant. Andy, thank you for hanging out with me for the entire show today.
Thank you, Tina.
And next, I want to talk with Andy about the mysteries of Social Security law. So, sounds like it could be an exciting topic for us. So, let's go ahead and talk about how you would describe Social Security in a nutshell when we're talking about Social Security mysteries and law.
You know, you were talking about title insurance earlier today.
Yep.
When it comes to home purchase, Social Security is paycheck insurance. It kicks in if something happens to your paycheck. Specifically, it pays if your paycheck is interrupted because of retirement, disability, or death. Heaven forbid, the retirement's the fun one there. Because think about it. You pay for it out of your paycheck, and then if your paycheck stops, that's when Social Security can pay.
Yeah.
So it's basically insurance on your paycheck. And get this, you won't believe this, but it is the largest source of retirement income It's bigger than savings. It's bigger than pensions.
It's kind of scary and sad.
It is scary and sad. And about half of people, it's 90% or more of their income.
Wow.
You do not want that to happen, people.
Yeah.
You want to do some saving and some preparation so Social Security isn't all you have.
Yeah, geez. And so is Social Security an entitlement program?
Technically, you know, you use that term and it's become kind of a pejorative term, kind of a cuss word. Ah, it's an entitlement.
Yeah.
So it is and it isn't. Technically, it's called an entitlement program. You talked about title insurance.
Yes.
You receive title to your Social Security. It is your property legally once it's once your claim is approved.
Okay.
So yes, it technically, if I was a lawyer, I'd say it's an entitlement.
Okay.
What it isn't is an entitlement like people think of entitlements. It's not a welfare payment.
Okay.
It's not something that's based on need.
Yeah.
You earned it. You paid for it and you earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you bought insurance and then the car insurance people have to pay you if you have an accident.
Got it.
Yeah. So it technically it's an entitlement, but it's not a welfare entitlement.
So what about opting out of Social Security? Can you do that and why would you?
Most people cannot. It's
okay.
A mandatory program. There are a couple of people that can get out of it. Well, first of all, if you work for a public entity, for example, state of California,
mm-hmm.
all the workers that work for the state of California are not in the Social Security program. They're in an alternative that's
okay.
similar that's run by California. So some public employees are outside the system, especially fire and police. Every once in a while, I run into a clergy person that has opted out. They have
mm-hmm.
an option to opt out of Social Security. I don't know why, but
yeah.
And most of the clergy people I've talked to, maybe they opted out for religious reasons, for reasons of conscience.
Okay.
But you know what? Most of the people that I talk to when they get to retirement age wish they had opted in instead of out.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Andy, what about spouse payments?
Mm-hmm.
Who can get that? How does Social Security define marriage?
That's in flux right now because every state is defining marriage differently
mm-hmm.
with same-sex marriage coming
yes.
in and so on. Well, Social Security just follows the state law. So the marital relationship that you have has to be legally recognized by one of the U.S. states, and then Social Security will recognize it.
Only one of them?
Well, yeah. For example, there's something like, I believe there's 7 states that recognize common law marriage,
okay.
where there was no ceremonial marriage, but you've told everybody you're married.
Exactly.
And you've done that for, I believe it's seven years. Then that is a legal marriage at Social Security, even if you don't live in that state anymore.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
It's
okay.
so interesting. And on same sex, it's a little complicated right now because it's in flux.
Okay.
The
mm-hmm.
way Social Security's dealing with it is, if your marriage was legally performed in a state that recognizes that marriage.
Okay, like Washington State.
Like Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And you reside in such a state, Social Security will recognize it.
You have to stay reside in that state.
For example, I get married to a same-sex partner in Washington.
Okay.
But move to Texas, they don't recognize
same-sex. Got it.
At least last I heard.
Yeah.
Every state's different now. So that's the way Social Security is dealing with it.
But if you move to another state that does recognize it, then you're okay. So if you were married
Correct.
In Washington State and you move to another state that does recognize same-sex marriage, then you're still eligible.
Correct. And
okay.
right now, for the last year or two since the Supreme Court decision, there's new rules coming out of Social Security all the time. For example, what if my same-sex partner dies? Can I get widow's payments on that record?
Okay. And why wouldn't you if
what if I live in a state that doesn't recognize that at the time of death?
Okay.
Or what if my legal residence was in a state that recognizes, but the death was in another, you know.
Got it.
You can
can
the
get
lawyers are just having a blast
I
with this.
I bet. Yeah. What about third-party payment on Social Security? Can you talk a little bit about that, Andy?
Yeah. Social Security can be, your Social Security can be paid to a third party in two situations.
Okay.
First of all, if you are legally incompetent, and that means it was court-ordered. For example, if I have a mental disability and a court says you can't handle money,
mm-hmm.
it has to be paid to your spouse or your parent or something. That's a situation.
Okay.
And included in that would be minors. Minors, by definition, are legally incompetent. So unless you're an gets complicated. Unless you're an emancipated minor, your payments will go to your parent.
Yes.
Or another person.
Okay.
Now, there's another one that's court ordered, but the other one is administrative. This used to be hard when I worked at Social Security to go to somebody and say, we think that you are having troubles handling money.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter has come to us and said you're not paying your bills. or that you paid the bills to the wrong people. You know, things are going wrong.
Yeah.
And then we would like to talk to you about having your payments go to your daughter instead of you or some other person.
Makes sense. So what do you do in that? What do you do in that process? I mean, how do you to get that taken care of?
That process is you contact the family physician, first of all, and the doctor makes the decision, yay or nay, you can handle money. You notify the person who gets the payments.
Okay.
And somebody would have already come forward, for example, the daughter, the son, the spouse, and said, you know, they're not handling money very well. And some of the really, it was painful sometimes to talk to people and say, you know, your daughter says you're having troubles handling money.
Yeah.
But most of the time, the person that I was addressing would say, oh, thank goodness, I'm having so much trouble.
Yes.
I'd love this to be handled by somebody else.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
And then they can do all the business with Social Security for you.
Okay. Let's talk about situations where Social Security could be garnished.
Okay. It can be garnished in some cases. It's free of garnishment in most cases. But, boy, if it's federal, if you owe the federal government money, they can come after the Social Security.
Yeah.
And specifically, if it's direct deposited, they can slurp it right out of that account, the last 2 months' worth, I believe it is.
Okay.
So if you owe federal taxes, if you owe crime victims restitution, if you owe debts to other federal agencies, including federally insured student loans,
really,
they can come after your Social Security.
Wow.
And the other one is if you have court-ordered child support or alimony and you get behind on that, they'll
come after
your Social Security.
Got it.
You know, Tina, I think I said it backwards. They leave you the last 2 months of Social Security.
Okay.
But any older payments in that account, they will grab.
Got it. Okay. All right. So I know there's some special rules around marriage and divorce. Can you share that with my listeners?
Yes, because this is so important if you're considering either a marriage or divorce.
Okay.
There's some caution lights that come up. So first of all,
there's a lot of things you got to do when you're considering your finances when you're talking about marriage or divorce. This is just one more thing to add to that checklist.
You're right. Social Security is probably down on the list, but not maybe at top of mind. First of all, you can get former spouse payments if you were married at least 10 years. That means your final divorce is not until after your 10th anniversary.
Okay.
So if you're planning a divorce at 9 years and 9 months or something like that, postpone on the paperwork until the 10th anniversary goes by. Because later you might really want those payments as an ex-spouse.
Okay.
That goes both during the life and after the death of your ex. So keep that door open. Be careful with remarriage. If you're planning a marriage and you are getting Social Security payments as a widow, or you think someday you might get them, if you marry before age 60, that blocks that widow's payment.
So
as
if
long
you're
as
59, hold that marriage off for another 12 months.
Exactly. It's weird how these dates come up. But it sounds weird, but if you're considering
marriage
or divorce.
And it's one of those, there's certain things, I talk to clients about credit, there's certain things that you can do to your credit that you cannot recover from. So it's all about education. Could you recover from this and get a divorce and then when you figure it out and then get remarried, or it doesn't work like that?
You could. For example, let's say you're married and you're approaching age 60. And you know that as long as that marriage lasts, you cannot get a widow's payment from your former spouse who passed away, and you want to get that payment, then you might consider getting divorced for 2 weeks or whatever, and then remarrying after age 60.
Yeah, there's definitely been some strategic divorces that I've heard about. So, Andy, we've talked about Social Security receiving it, being eligible in more than one way. Can you talk about that?
Yes, if you're eligible as a worker and as, say, a spouse or as a widow, then you might choose your pathway carefully. You might get more money from Social Security by taking one kind of payment first and then later detouring back to your, say, your own payment.
Okay, got it.
So good to look at.
A minute here before we're going to wrap up the show, Andy, and I think a good place to wrap up my time with you on Social Security is, what is Social Security worth to the average worker? Can you break down some numbers for my listeners?
Yeah, the average person at 66 gets about $1,300 a month. You'd need at least $400,000 to match that. And if you throw a spouse in there, you'd need $650,000 to equal what you're going to get for the average person from Social Security.
Jeez.
That's pretty good. So you really need to think about it as an asset that you're going to take care of carefully.
Yeah, great point. Well, Andy, thank you so much again for spending the entire show with me. I just love having you in studio and just really the expert for the show in anything regarding Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. I highly encourage to get onto Amazon and purchase Andy's books. Andy, tell them where to go, what to buy.
Go to Amazon, look for Landis Social Security. The name of the book is Social Security, The Inside Story.
And Andy, we'll have you back real soon, I'm sure. And happy birthday. I want to get you out of here, out of studio, so you can go enjoy the festive time that you have planned with your lovely wife. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Tina. Great to be here.
This is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks again for spending time this hour with me for the Money Hour. And I will be here same time, same place, right here at 1150 AM KKNW.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.